Welcome to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead here again to have another conversation with you about some of the stories that matter. Folks, we are, as always, delighted to be here with you. Delighted to have an opportunity to carve out a little piece of forever with you. Delighted to have an opportunity to share with you some of the things we've been musing about and debating about and thinking about and reading about all day long. We have a show for you today. In the second hour, I want to talk about child labor human trafficking. Let me lay this out and make it quite clear. Have you seen the kids in Baltimore City standing outside of the Zips and the Shoppers Food Warehouse and outside of Walgreens peddling candy and cookies? Well, there is a concern that that's actually connected to child labor human trafficking. I want to talk about that in the second hour, an experience that I had last night that caused me such concern that I was so disturbed for the rest of the evening. I want to talk about that in the second hour. In the first hour, I want to talk about this young brother from Florida who overslept, missed jury duty, end up serving 10 days in jail. A young brother who's a caregiver to his grandfather. A young brother who has a very clean record. Folks, we've got to be just about perfect in order for any court in this country to show any form of mercy toward our children. I want to talk about that in this hour. But first, I want to speak to you a little bit about discernment. As some of you know, I've been going through this discernment process once a week as I'm thinking about whether or not I should run for mayor. Many of you have said to me that I should run for the mayor of Baltimore City. I don't think decisions like that are entered into lightly. I think when people ask you to do something, that you should spend some time thinking about what you want to do, about who you are, and about what you're called to do at this moment. So I signed up for discernment because that's just kind of the person that I am. And I'm in week 3 of the discernment process. And something that my discernment coach said to me today had me thinking, and I wanted to share it with you. So when we spoke about the decisions in my life, whether or not the next step for me is to run for mayor, my discernment coach, Father Tim Brown, asked me today, he said, to think deeply about what my greatest talent is and how can I use my greatest talent to meet the deepest need that Baltimore City has. What is the deepest need that we have in this city? And does my greatest talent meet that need? I was sitting there for a moment. I was thinking about it because it called me to think about what my greatest talents are. And folks, I'm sharing this with you because I'm asking you to join me in the process. When's the last time you did any discernment? When's the last time you thought deeply about who you are and who you wanted to be? When is the last time and you stopped and said, does my greatest talent meet Baltimore City or the world's deepest need? If the deepest need in Baltimore City is to have a mayor that is on fire, that loves the people, that will fight in those boardrooms to get us what we need, then does my greatest talent meet that deepest need? If the deepest need in Baltimore City is to have a voice, someone to advocate on behalf of our children, someone to stand up when they see that things are not being done correctly, someone to speak out for the least of those in the city, then does my greatest talent meet that need? That is my challenge for you today. That is what I'd like you to think about. What is your greatest talent? And how can you use your greatest talent to meet the world's, or if you want to even go more narrow, Baltimore City's deepest need? We have a lot of issues in this city. I was thinking about that as I was driving over here. I was thinking about the story of the folks over in the Sandtown Winchester neighborhood, over in Councilman Pinkett's area, who were speaking about the different people coming over into their community from the county, dumping furniture. Folks, not just bags of trash. We're talking about couches and mattresses. And watching the interviews of elderly people saying, it's just too much for me. Deepest need. I think about what's happening in our schools. See, we haven't been talking about what's going on with our schools because the weather has stabilized, right? We're not going to talk about the deepest need for our schools until it gets too cold for our babies, right? Let's be very clear. We can be a very fickle city because our politicians have trained us to be fickle, right? So I think we should put the blame where it goes. Our politicians in this city have trained us to be fickle, and they've trained us to focus on one thing at a time. We can't talk about the schools because the weather's fine. We don't need to talk about the schools again until it's too cold for them. Because in Baltimore City, for some reason, we can't build a bike unless we're riding it. So what's the deepest need for our school system? The deepest need seems to be to have the attention focused on giving our babies what they need to be successful. How about the deepest need for our community? We're on track now to possibly hit 300 homicides for the fifth year in a row. The deepest need for our communities seems to be to have an active plan, not contradictory plans, not the FOP with one plan, so they can contradict Commissioner Harrison's plan. But we need one plan that we can all agree with to deal with the crime and the violence in our communities. Deepest need. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm getting to now? Because it seems like Baltimore City has a multitude of very deep needs. And what we're looking for in a mayor, what we're looking for in a city council president, what we're looking for in our state's attorney is for people to take up those mantles who can fill our deepest need. As you think about who you're going to cast your vote for next year, you should cast your vote for the candidate that will fill our deepest need, because we have some. That's your word for today. That's the Today with Dr. K discernment moment. To ask yourself, maybe ask it in the quiet moments of your home. Maybe ask it when you stand in front of that mirror and you're by yourself. Maybe ask it when you're writing in your journal. But challenge your children to ask this question. Challenge your spouses and your friends to ask this question. What is their greatest talent? And how can they use it to meet the world's and Baltimore City's deepest need? You know what that's called, folks? That's called vocation. Because vocation happens when your greatest talent meets the world's deepest need. That's what vocation is. If you want to know why God sent you here, or Allah, or whatever you call the being that's higher than you, and if you're an atheist, maybe you sent yourself here. I don't know. But if you're trying to figure out why you're here, figure out what your greatest talent is and use that to meet the world and Baltimore City's deepest need. 410-319-8888. We got a couple folks who want to chime in on this before we even get started with our discussion. Why don't we let folks chime in on this? You know, are you working through the process, folks? Discernment is hard. I'm telling you, I'm doing a lot of crying. I am. Because I'm finally beginning to ask myself the questions that dictate and guide my soul. What am I doing here? Why am I walking this journey? You can't tell me you've never asked yourself that. Why am I here? Like, what am I supposed to be doing in this particular experiment called life? What am I doing? Discernment is helping me figure it out. We got Larry on the phone from Baltimore County. Larry, you want to chime in on this conversation? Larry, can I hear you? Larry, I can't hear you. How are you? Are we going to hold Larry on, and we'll go to the real Thomas from Owens Mills? Hey, Thomas, how are you?
Dr. K, how are you, love?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Listen, I want to take issue with some of the things you're saying, right?
Okay.
We haven't let the politicians do anything. Listen, we voted for them, okay? They turned around, and they came into our churches, into our synagogues, our mosques, wherever they came to meet us at. And they shared with us what they thought we wanted to hear.
Oh yeah.
Okay. We fell for the okie doke.
Yes, we did.
But Dr. K, I'm hereby to declare to you right now that a day of reckoning is coming. I don't think we need a city council president. I don't even think we need a mayor right now. I think we need a city manager is what I think we need.
Okay.
Somebody who's going to be beholden to the people, but not the developers or past politicians. That's why I keep saying, why are we voting for the same old garbage over and over?
I like that. Again? Now let's talk this through. When you say a day of reckoning, right? That a day of reckoning is coming. Is that the day when Baltimore City, when the residents of Baltimore City will rise up and say, we need a mayor, a city council president, city council folks to do this work specifically? Not what they promised to do, not what we think they say they're going to do, but like, we have the specific needs. We don't need you to do everything, but maybe we have three things that you've got to get accomplished while you're in office.
And that's why I say a day of reckoning is coming.
Day of reckoning.
Because these young people now who are called the squeegee kids and other derogatory names.
Yes, they are derogatory.
Business developers are calling these kids. These kids are listening, Dr. K.
Yes, they are.
They're listening to who these people are.
Yes, they are.
You know, they're at the point, Dr. K, where they're becoming a voting age.
Yes, they are. Come on.
Now that they're becoming a voting age, Dr. K, what are they going to do? Are they going to vote for these people? No. They're going to be able to vote these people out of office. And the way that these politicians have been able to get over on the community now, it's by divide and conquer.
Yes,
that
it
they've
is.
Been using. You have one cell phone number, so if you need something, you can call this person. Oh, Councilman Pickett got this done for me. Okay, what has Councilman Pickett done for the rest of the area?
It's a big community, not individuals. I'm with you.
Right.
I'm with
Mayor Jack Young did this for me. Okay, what has Mayor Jack Young did for the whole city? He is the mayor. He's not the acting mayor now.
He is the mayor. He's no longer interim. Now, I got to stop you there, Thomas. Thank you so much. Folks, I just want to throw out what Justina told me. We had the young squeegee enterprisers actually directing traffic on MLK and Washington Boulevard. Like, they're out here working. Now, what real Thomas said, they're coming of voting age. Folks, I just want to ask you, think about this for a second. The young people who are sitting in schools without AC and they're sitting in schools without heat, and they're sitting in schools where the ceilings are falling down. They're sitting in schools where there's no toilet tissue in the bathroom. They're sitting in schools where there are no doors on the bathroom stalls. Those young people will be turning 18 soon. They'll be a voting age. I'm just wondering, what is the message that we're sending to the next generation of voters? That apparently the adults don't care about you. Like, you got to take care of yourself. 410-319-8888. We're having a little bit of a conversation before our conversation. We have Reggie on the phone from Randallstown. Reggie, how are you?
Hi, Dr. K. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Yes. I just tuned in on your conversation a few calls ago, and my input is that I believe the current politicians, status quo that we've had for the last, I guess, few decades, basically have been set up for failure.
Mm.
I believe that Baltimore will return to its original roots as far as the city is concerned with a new type of politician.
Okay. Now, what would that new type of politician be like? And
all of the folk that are coming into the city that are from a different persuasion, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
You
mean a different racial makeup?
City council president and mayor.
A different racial makeup or a different economic class
or a different gender perspective? Most of the you know, the black African American folk are being either gentrified out of the city.
Okay.
Or they're just leaving on their own.
So now we're talking about, at this point, we're still a predominantly black city. We're at 62%. But you're saying there's going to come a time when Baltimore's leadership, we're talking mayor, city council president, will not be African Americans. We know that time existed, right? We can all talk about all the O'Malley years. So it's not like Baltimore City hasn't had a white mayor in the last, you know, so many years. I'm going back past Pugh, back past Blake, back past Dixon, there was O'Malley.
Right,
and
O'Malley was sort of like the Bill Clinton, I would call.
Yeah, well,
you know what I mean, he was white, but I believe he inherited you know, a city that was already in, you know, in like a failed state, so to speak.
Right, and continue so, down that path. Mm-hmm. Let's be clear, right? Like, thank you so much. I appreciate you, folks. Uh-huh. I mean, when you have this comparison to Bill Clinton, I mean, I think that's a very interesting comparison that the caller just made, comparing O'Malley to Bill Clinton. Because some people say Bill Clinton, the first black president, is what they, you know, that the Toni Morrison called him, right? Bill Clinton, in terms of the policies that went against the black community, the three strikes rule, the ways in which under his administration they gutted the black family. He was not the first black president. He was a white president operating under whiteness. O'Malley, think about the number of black men that were arrested under O'Malley. Stop and frisk, folks. Let's not go back. We got to remember with clear eyes. Like, let's be very clear. I am not saying O'Malley was completely a bad president. I'm sorry, a bad mayor. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying Bill Clinton was completely a bad president. I'm saying we got to look at all their policies. And at some point when we're ready as a family, we need to look at Obama's policies. I know we're not ready yet as a family, but at some point, we're going to have that same critical eye and look at our first black president to see if his policies benefited the black community. We have James on the phone from Sandtown. James, how are you?
Hey there, Dr. K.
How you doing?
You were speaking on the reason for being here.
Yes.
I thought it was serve the creator.
There you go.
God, whoever you want to call him.
Right.
Do you believe in the Ten Commandments?
Yes, I do.
Have you lived by the Ten Commandments?
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. There's nobody that can say they've lived by the Ten Commandments. The Bible's very clear, and we've all fallen short.
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
And see, what the people don't understand is that we owe him.
Mm-hmm.
We owe him our life. And you can't give no more than that. You should be giving him your life. We should be living righteous. If you take care of your neighbor, I take care of mine. I mean, everything is just broken.
Well, let me ask you this, James. Okay, so you owe him your life. And for those of you who believe whatever it is you believe in, you owe mm-hmm. the person that created you your life. But I believe that life that we're talking about, James, that life comes through service. What exactly are you doing here with the life you've been given to make the road, the path, the music a little bit nicer, a little bit sweeter, a little bit better for the next person who comes along behind you or beside you?
Let me say this. Everything starts with family.
Yeah, everything
so
does.
I started with my family, taking care of my family. Then I can choose what's my next step. Who else can I help? See, if you don't help nobody and try to lift people up, I mean, I believe your living is in vain.
I definitely believe that. You got to do something. Thank you so much. I appreciate you, James. We have Yousef on the phone from Baltimore. Yousef, how are you?
I'm fine, Dr. K. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you as well.
Yes, ma'am. I just want to comment on the caller before the last, his remarks about going back to Baltimore's roots. If he looks at the history of America, particularly Maryland, Baltimore's roots is in slavery.
Yes, come on. Speaking of yourself.
And that has been the history of the city throughout, beyond, past the Civil War and all that other stuff, because Baltimore has been able to maintain that same infrastructure through all these black mayors that we've seen.
Yes.
And the rest of its history. So we really need to look at the history of Baltimore and see what responsibility Baltimore owes to its black population and the degree of poverty it's managed to keep us in through all these years. And I don't want to get too political, but again, I want to mention to you a book called Baltimore Unbound by a guy, his name is David Rusk. He's the son of Dean Rusk, the former Secretary of State. He was the mayor of Albuquerque, New Mexico, and he was also a state senator for New Mexico. But he was commissioned to do a study by John Hopkins and the Gold Circle Foundation,
mm-hmm.
and he did. They wanted to know why is the poverty of Baltimore been like it was? And in that book, he reveals it.
I appreciate that because I want to add to that. As you say, Baltimore Unbound. I want to add that folks need to keep their eye open because Dr. Lawrence Brown, you know Dr. Lawrence Brown, he does the work on the Black Butterfly and the White L about Baltimore City. His new book about Baltimore's Black neighborhoods and what does injustice look like, a systemic inequality right here in Baltimore, his new book will be out shortly. So I want to couple that with the book that you're recommending, Youssef.
Right on. Right on.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you. We have Mama Z on the phone from Baltimore County. Mama Z, how are you?
I'm blessed. How are you, my sister?
I'm blessed as well. Thank you.
I wish I had waited until the hour started when we talked talking about your discernment and thinking about this issue around being a mayor.
Yeah.
Being the mayor of Baltimore. I don't know that that would serve us because you are so powerful for the people outside of that city hall and can make changes because you wake up the community. As a politician in this city, it's the corruption has just run so deep.
I wanted to ask you about that. What is that about, Mama Z? Do they forget why we elect them? Is that what they're forgetting?
I truly do believe with the best of intentions, people can go into politics, but as long as, and I'm going to say this, white males who have their eye on the dollar sign will control Baltimore, regardless of who's in the seat, until we as a city rise up and say no more. I want to speak real quickly on the issue around our children.
You know, actually, you know what, Mama Z? Mama Z, I'm going to ask you not to hang up because people want to hear you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a quick break. When we come back, Mama Z, I'm coming straight to you, and after you, I'm going to Raquel. And then I want to talk about the kid that went to jail for oversleeping and missing jury duty. Folks, we're getting into the show. This is the kind of show we're having today. It's Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Stay with us.
I want to make sure I'm right, boy.
Welcome back to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead, folks. If you haven't guessed it yet, we're bumping in and out all day with music by Beyonce. I pull music from her Lemonade album, and I pull music from Homecoming. So we'll be bumping out with both of them today. So in the first half, we were talking about the process of discernment. People ask, what are you talking about? Discernment. That's all I'm talking about. I'm not talking about run or not run, your future. I'm just saying discernment. Because at this time, in this place, I would argue that Black folks, anyone else who's listening, we need some discernment. We need to be able to look at a situation and figure out, A, how does it benefit us? And B, how does it harm us? And C, where's the justice or injustice in the situation? Can we properly discern what is happening to us right now? What is happening to our babies? I say that because of the 21-year-old kid from Florida, 21-year-old young man from Florida, who overslept and he missed jury duty. He was sentenced to 10 days in jail. He actually ended up having his sentence vacated. But that's beside the point. The point is that this is what he was put through. I thought about that and I thought about the young brothers here. I mean, I was thinking about our Squeegee Enterprises. I mean, they're out there directing traffic down on MLK and Washington Boulevard. And unfortunately, our young people are not supported, are not encouraged, are not lifted up, are not pushed along the path, are not focused on unless they fit a very negative agenda, a negative stereotype. In fact, this young brother from Florida, I'm going to play his clip in just a second because he you got to hear this. You know what, Justine? Let's go ahead and play the clip now. Let's play this clip now, and I'm going to go to Mama Z and Raquel and Kim Trueheart. Let's talk about the ways in which we can shift the narrative so that our young men and women don't have to go through what this brother went through. Take a listen to this.
21-year-old DeAndre Somerville learned the hard way why you can't miss jury duty.
After going through that, it's like my life will never be the same again.
In August, he was sworn in as a juror on a civil case. He was to return the next day for trial, but he overslept.
I woke up and I looked at the time, and I was like, oh shoot, it's past the time.
Mistake number two, he didn't call the jury office to let them know what was going on. Days later, he was served with a subpoena to go before the judge.
I talked with my granddad for a while, and he said, the best thing you can always do is honesty. So, I went for the hearing.
DeAndre lives with his grandparents and helps look after his grandfather by taking him to therapy.
My grandma was saying, oh, I think you should dress up. And I was like, nah, I'm gonna wear my work clothes because I feel like at least he can see that I'm doing something. Because a lot of times people get stereotyped. Oh, he's just another black boy out here doing something he's not supposed to be doing.
But the 21-year-old didn't see what was coming.
I just said, sir, I honestly overslept and I didn't understand the seriousness of this. He asked me if I had a criminal record. I said, sir, I've never been arrested.
Transcripts show DeAndre apologized, but the judge sentenced him to 10 days in jail. DeAndre said all he could think about was his grandfather.
He depended on me. So it was like, you know, it's hard for him.
Judge John Castronakis' order said DeAndre's failure to appear delayed the trial by 45 minutes, and the court couldn't reach him. WPTV's criminal analyst Michelle Suskauer says these cases are not common.
This is going to show others you have to take this very seriously. But this 21-year-old with no prior record now has a misdemeanor conviction. Could there have been other alternatives to maybe be more instructive and less punitive? It's possible.
It hurts, but it's like it's a lesson learned. It could have been worse.
So this young brother overslept. He missed jury service. Judge Castronakis was angry. He said that because you overslept and you didn't call, we were delayed 45 minutes. He also said, we needed you because you were the only black person sitting on the jury. Listen to this, folks. He's the only black person sitting on the jury. Dude overslept because he's working a full-time job and he's a caregiver for his grandfather. He's 21 years old, has no record. Judge Castronakis, because they were delayed for 45 minutes and he was annoyed and having that delay, he sentenced him to 10 days in jail. Think about that, folks. They sent him to prison, hardcore prison, 21 years old, because he overslept and he missed jury service. The judge also gave him 150 hours of community service and 1 year probation, because he overslept and missed jury service. The young brother said that the first thing Judge Castronakis wanted to know is, do you have a criminal record? And he said, yeah, nothing's ever happened to me. He threw himself on the mercy of the court. Dude is up in there crying. His family's there. Didn't commit a crime. I understand people are like, well, the crime is he didn't go to jury service, folks. 10 days in a hardened prison. I just want to remind you of the white kid who was involved in illegal activity, and his father says, you know what? He shouldn't go to jail because he suffers from affluenza. He's lived a life of affluence, and he just doesn't understand right from wrong. How many people who are not of color get mercy? And I know you're going to be upset, but I'm going to bring it on back home. Amber Geiger got mercy, okay? Amber Geiger got grace. Amber Geiger, who received 10 years, who's eligible for parole in 5 years, who got hugged by the judge, who got hugged by the brother, who got her hair stroked by the bailiff, the world has shown Amber Geiger mercy. This brother overslept. 10 days in jail. He's had his sentence vacated, but he had a very severe stripping down by the judge. The judge got on, talked to him like he was like 4 years old. This white judge made sure this young black brother understood, you have no power here. I've got all the power, and I'm going to decide what's going to happen to you. Now, what happens if you're here in Maryland and you miss jury duty? Folks, you could end up going to jail for missing jury duty. Just want to let you know that as you make plans for what you're going to do, you might want to get up. Because if a 21-year-old who's a caregiver for his grandfather, working a job, if he ends up in jail for 10 days here in Maryland, you might get 60. 410-319-8888. I was talking to Mama Z. Mama Z was, you know, kind of helping us transition to talking about our children. Mama Z, thank you so much for holding on.
Well, thank you for allowing me to hold on.
Yes.
I just want to say that when we start talking about our children, I want to make 2 points. 1 point, under Martin O'Malley,
oof,
I watched our men shoot and kill young teenagers for breaking in their yard and stealing a bike. Is a bike worth a life?
No.
I watched young, older gentlemen shoot children for leaning on their car. Is that a death penalty offense? Sitting on their step. When Martin O'Malley ran the city with this and took total advantage of the three strikes you're out, did so many things that are harmful to our people. That's why I say anyone who associates with him, I'm leery of, because I know the character of this man and what he did to my city that I've lived in all of my life. Secondly, when it comes to our children, if we really love our children, we will cease educating them under a Eurocentric curriculum. Mm. We will cease teaching them that the white man is the savior. We will teach them their greatness, who they are, how their forefathers created civilization, how their forefathers charted the heavens, how their forefathers were the first cartographers, how their forefathers are the creators of civilization.
There you go.
So when we teach our children who they are, they will not act as if they are the property and the puppet of someone else, because we buy into whatever the white man says is right. We buy into that. We reject anything that comes from each other. I've been an advocate for children and education for all my life. And I can tell you, even as a retired person, I'm working for the advocacy efforts for the HBCU issue with this governor, who people believe he's good, but this governor does not want to give. He has said he can't give these African-American schools, these right. HBCUs, their money that the state rightfully owes them, because it'll hurt his white schools. When are we going to wake up and realize racism never dies?
All right. Thank you so much, Mama Z. I appreciate you and appreciate your passion. Mama Z is just kind of reminding us that when we hearken back to the time of Mayor O'Malley, remember Mayor O'Malley set himself up when he was trying to run for president. He said that his claim to fame is that that Baltimore's crime rate plummeted during his tenure as mayor from 1999 to 2007, except that plummeting was built on the backs of zero tolerance policing tactics that are both draconian and increasingly unpopular, folks. Zero tolerance is how Martin O'Malley ran this city. So let's not throw back and say there was a great time under O'Malley, and that's what we need. We need to think about what zero tolerance looks like when it's against our people. You know what it looks like? It looks like Dante Harris getting life while Amber Geiger gets 10 years. It looks like this young brother from Florida getting 10 days in jail while Amber Geiger gets 10 years, while you know, young white men get out for affluenza. That's what zero tolerance looks like. 410-319-8888. I have Raquel on the phone from Owens Mills. Raquel, how are you?
Fine. How are you, Dr. K?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I would like for all the listeners to know, do not forget about Morgan Homecoming this weekend.
Yes, ma'am.
Their gala is Friday night at Martin's West. Tickets is $195.
Oh, can't say the price. Can't say the price. But people can call and get that. Thank you so much,
right.
Raquel.
Can I call and get that? And also, I would like to talk about Martin O'Malley.
Okay.
Martin O'Malley was not a good mayor for African-American men. So if anybody vote for Brandon Scott, do remember that Martin O'Malley's family is one of Brandon Scott's campaign managers.
Mm.
Have a good day.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate you, folks. I didn't remember the name of the young white male who killed four people while driving drunk. His name is Ethan Couch. He got out because of what they call affluenza. He said, and his family said, and his lawyer said that he was suffering because of the privilege of being raised wealthy. I just want to put that out there. White kid drives a car, drives it drunk, kills four people. And he gets out of jail because of affluenza, because he's suffering because he was born wealthy. Black kid, caregiver for his grandfather, working a job, oversleeps jury service, gets 10 days in jail. In one case, four people got killed. In the other case, court was delayed 45 minutes. I just want to say, in no scenario are these two things equal. None at all. So when you say zero tolerance, when you start talking about lack of mercy, when you start talking about what happens when we have systemic inequality in our system, these are just a few examples. Folks, I could go all day. I can go past my show, in the Faraji show, in the LaDon show. I can go all day long and talk about how the system is stacked against black folks. I can. And I think you can agree with me that we know the reality of what it means to be black within the legal system in this country and what we have to deal with. 410-319-8888. We have Kim Trueheart on the phone. She's got some good news for us. Kim, how are you?
Dr. K, I am doing really, really, really
good. I heard you're doing very well. Kim, tell us why you're doing so well.
last Wednesday, the Board of Estimates approved a grant agreement with my organization, Liberty Village Project, to engage our Squeegee youth and other disconnected youth in some really good positive development, affirmation, training, coaching, mentoring, which will pay them 5 days a week for 5 hours a day, $15 an hour.
Wow.
To help clean up this city. We're going to be mowing, cutting, cleaning.
Wow.
Various city-owned properties throughout the city. I'm really excited.
I'm excited for you.
Recruiting right now as we speak. And I'm interviewing young people, 18 to 24, who want this opportunity. We're going to give them certifications and first aid from Red Cross. We're going to give them OSHA safety certifications. All this will come at a culminating event. I'm going to feed them breakfast every morning because
wow.
I'm going to make sure they're healthy.
Good.
We're going to feed them lunch. And all that's not included in the grant, but I'm asking the community to make donations, a dozen eggs, a loaf of bread,
right,
whatever you can to help us feed these young folks.
Oh, Kim, first, let me just say congratulations, folks. If you've been following this story, Kim told us about us in the beginning when we were talking about what can we do to help our young Squeegee Enterprisers. And Kim had this idea. She had a gem of an idea, and it's been birthed, and we are excited to see what's going to happen. So a couple of things, Kim. We want to be involved in the process. We want to see how things unfold. We definitely want to talk to some of the young people that get involved in the program. And if there's anything that we have in our teacher depot that we can donate. The Teacher Depot is, you know, first and foremost for our young people. So even though these young people are not technically in school, you are teaching them skills. You are teaching them things they're going to need to be able to make it through and navigate and negotiate through Baltimore City. So our Teacher Depot is for you as well. So we will see what we have that can help you out because we want to support this effort.
Thank you so much. And
absolutely.
If anybody knows a young person who's out there, give me a call. My number is 443-255-9413.
So what I've done, Kim, is I've written this down, and anyone who calls us, I can give, Justina will make sure you get Kim Trueheart's number. Thank you so much, Kim. About one more question. What day does it kick off?
We're trying to get everything purchased. I bought lawnmowers last week. I bought 9 lawnmowers. I got to get the weed whackers and everything. So hopefully I'll have everything in place by Tuesday. Monday's a holiday. Tuesday the 15th, I'm looking to start.
All right. Keep us in the loop. We want to walk hand in hand with this process. Thank you so much, Kim Trueheart. 410-319-8888. Folks, if you have solutions for things you're doing, call and share that with us as well. We want to know because our job is to make sure we're passing on information, but also holding the system accountable and pointing out some of the things that we need to fix to make it better. 410-319-8888. If you just joined us, this is Today with Dr. K. We're talking about what does justice look like when it's applied to our young people? We were talking about whether or not we trusted the system yesterday. Well, here's a case where a young brother in Florida overslept jury service. He got 10 days in prison. I am comparing that to Ethan Couch, the young white guy in Texas who killed 4 people while driving drunk and got off because, according to his psychologist, he's suffering from affluenza, which is the disease associated with being born privileged. I'm comparing Dante Harris, who got life in prison for killing a white police officer to Amber Geiger, who got 10 years in prison for killing a black man, one of them intentional. 410-319-8888. We have Eric on the phone from West Baltimore. Eric, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling.
I first want to congratulate the caller before me.
Yes.
On her initiative. That is, like, so awesome. But my heart hurt for the brother that got locked up for oversleeping and missing jury duty, only because I've been locked up before, and it's not a good place. That stuff follows you forever, no matter if you get it expunged or whatever the case may be.
Now, let me ask you this, Eric. I want to unpack this before we go into your question, because the young brother in a recent interview, he said, I've been traumatized by what I went through. Now, because you have been in prison, like, what exactly does that mean? Does that mean something happened to him, that he saw something, or just the feeling that you just don't have any rights at all?
Well, I know personally for me, it's like when I got locked up, it's like even if I smell something that smells like the jail, it just makes me cringe on the inside, like my skin just starts crawling. It's just an uncomfortable feeling. But wow. I'm just so disappointed in the judge, because my thing is I've done jury duty before.
Right.
I've sat there all day long. So there's no reason why they couldn't pull another juror from out of that jury room to replace that guy. And
yeah, I thought they always have, like, backups, alternates, right?
Or reschedule him for another jury duty. I mean, we sit in this jury room all day long, just sitting there watching movies or whatever the case may be. So they could have pulled somebody from that room. That's just a poor excuse, and I think that's unfair to that guy. I think it's unfair to his grandparents for having to deal with that, because him being in jail, he probably wasn't thinking about nothing but his grandfather.
Yeah, that's what he said.
That probably tore him to pieces, not knowing if his grandfather was going to still be around when he got out, if somebody was there taking care of his grandfather while he was gone.
Right.
I understand the feeling, because I've been there before, and it's, especially when it comes to my grandparents, I'll do anything for my grandparents. Not that I wouldn't do it for my parents, but it's just a special relationship that kids have with their grandparents.
Okay, and I'm glad you did that. I'm glad you kind of mentioned that. Thank you so much, Eric, because we're trying to figure out what's going on here and how we can help in this situation. Not just with this young brother, because I'm not talking about him. I'm just saying that when we're dealing with our young people, what do we tell them? So, yes, he did. He had gone through the process. He was selected to serve on the jury. The first day of the trial is when he overslept. And you do get punishment for this. I think it was excessive. 10 days in prison? Like, that seems excessive, because you were delayed 45 minutes and there were alternates. But I don't know. There's a feeling that there's just no grace. Or maybe I'm overthinking it. 410-319-8888. I'll take that as well. We have Joanne on the phone from Northeast Baltimore. Joanne, what do you think?
Yes. Good afternoon, Dr. K.
Good afternoon.
I think the judge was unreasonable. The punishment was excessive. This is a young man who was working or going to school and taking care of his grandfather. That in itself is quite a bit of work. This is an elderly person. He is probably up at night, probably up early in the morning, and still has to focus on the job that he's doing. The judge had no empathy for this young man.
None.
This was definitely, this definitely had racist overtones. He did not care, and the punishment did not fit the crime. Definitely.
No, I think it was too much. So now my question to you is, Joanne, but where does this young person go from here? So even though they've expunged his record, the fact that he has dealt, he said he's traumatized from this.
He should write letters. He should get together with other folks, maybe civil rights lawyers, maybe people like, you know, people that have some professional or that belong to other groups who have some clout, and maybe write to the board that can reprimand this judge. I think the judge was clearly wrong.
I agree.
And should be, the judge should be reprimanded because this was wrong. This was definitely, it should not have gone to this. It should not, because they have alternate, they have other jurors that could have fit in.
Right, and it didn't have to take it out on this. I think it was excessive.
He's young, and he did not know, you know, how to present himself. Someone like me with age and understanding of these things could have spoken up. Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm agreeing with you. Thank you so much, Joanne. Folks, a situation like that, the young brother's there. He's apologizing. He's throwing himself on the mercy of the court. And Judge Castronakis is not having it. He said, hey, you caused us a delay. You inconvenienced me. And now you have to pay. And I'm not going to move on this till I think you've learned your lesson. I have Lisa on the phone from Maryland. Lisa's son was locked up in Mississippi, and she has kept us up to date on what's been going on with that story. Lisa, how are you?
I'm doing well, Dr. K. Thank you for accepting my call. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I can hear you fine.
Thank you. Fantastic. Fantastic. I want to first thank Allah for all that he has done for me. I want to thank you. I want to thank Justine. I want to thank the callers because you opened up your platform for me to share my son's story. And it is through prayer that I know I was able to accomplish what I did. I was not alone. I knew I wasn't alone. And that gave me the strength and encourage me to continue to fight for my son.
Right. So with that, tell us what happened.
Okay, long story short, my son was picked up on June the 3rd of this year by Baltimore City Police, and they said that he had a fugitive warrant on him in the state of Mississippi. My son was in trouble back in 2003 in Mississippi, and he did a very long time. My son did 10 years and 11 months for burglary. So if you think it's a gang and the criminal justice system is fair, it is not.
Now, I'm going to have to hold you there. I got to hold you on. Oh, my word, folks. We're getting into this. When I come back, I'm going right back to Lisa. Thank you so much for holding, Lisa. And then we got Rico, Robert, Otis, Will, and Fred. And then at 4:30, we're going to talk about child labor, human trafficking. So you got to stay past the break. There's a lot happening. This is Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Do not change the station. Stay right here.
And a good afternoon. Everything looking good on the Penn Line of the MARC system. No delays from Washington to Baltimore. Likewise, no delays on the light rail link, and the Metro subway link is also on time. Local and bus diversions include the Navy Line diverting eastbound at Pratt and President, the Navy Line westbound diverting at Conkling and Fleet Street, 54 northbound diverting at Harford Road and 32nd, 54 southbound diverts at Harford and Argonne. For the MTA Transit Team, I'm Ken Berger on 88.9 FM WEAA, the voice of the community.